We're about to embark upon a new malacha. That is the malacha of Sheichet. So most of us are not Shechtim, so we're not going to be doing real Shechita. But there is a potential Isser and Shabbos, potential Isser Deraisa, that at least according to many Rishonim, may fall under the category of a Sheichet. And that is one of the strange things that we find in Masechah Shabbos, is the idea that Chovel, causing somebody to bleed, either a person to bleed or an animal to bleed, is Yaduma first was being an Issa Deraisa. It's not even a Shah, not even a Sofek, that Chovel is considered to be Chayiv, is considered to be a Malacha Deraisa, and yet it is far from clear which Malacha exactly it falls under. How did the Gemara know such a fact, that Chovel is Malacha? So the Gemara seems to say that's derived from the parish of Mila. In fact, the Torah goes out of its way to say that a Mila is Decha Shabbos, Mila is not as Decha Shabbos, implying that if not for the Pasuk, it would have been Aser. What's also about it? Which malach exactly are you doing when you do a milah? So it must be that you're doing an act of chayvel, you're causing blood to be drawn. But that just pushes the question back a step. So which of the lamites malachas does chayvel fall under? So there seems to be a three-way machlekes of Rishonim. So Rashi, in one place, Masechah Shabbos, makes reference to a very, very difficult shita to understand. We're not going to spend too much time on now. And that's the shita of being the chla malach of tzevea. You're coloring. What exactly are you coloring? So it sounds like you're coloring the skin. You're dyeing the skin. Either it depends on how bad a chaval you're doing. If you're causing mamish blood to come out and you turn the skin red, if you're causing a nitra dam, you're causing a black and blue mark or a scratch or something, so you're causing some kind of a coloring under the skin, so some of that's considered to be a malach of tzeveh, a very, very difficult sheet to understand. So most of Rishem don't go down that route. Most of Rishem go down the route of one or two other malachas. So one other possible malacha is the malacha of disha. That's the sheet to say Rambam. That drawing blood is considered to be part of disha. If that would be the case, then we probably shouldn't be talking about it now, because I think Rabbi Cohen's supposed to be doing disha with you guys. Right? Did he do disha? No? Is he supposed to do disha?
I think we're just doing bishul now.
Just doing bishul. Okay, eventually do disha. Okay, if not, come back to me. So the Rambam writes that chayvel is included in disha. What in the world does that have to do with disha? So disha means that you're exerting pressure on the grain, you're pushing on the stepping on the grain, causing the animals to step on the grain or something, and by doing so, you're extracting the good part from the bad part. So that surah malach of disha is also accomplished when you're being chayvel, when you're pressing against blood, you're causing blood, you're punching it, you're causing it to bleed. So that's extracting the blood out of the rest of the body. So that's considered to be part of the malacha of disha. So this is a big, big problem, the Shittas Rambam, because the Gemara quotes the Machlekes HaTanoim, the Fainei, whether the malacha derais of disha applies only to gedule karka or not. So it's Machlekes Rebidon Dechachamim, and we paskin that ain't, I should say, most we shouldn't paskin, we usually assume, like the Chacham, that ain't disha elba gedule karka. If that's the case, that ain't disha elba gedule karka, so how could the Gemara speak about chayva by behemoths? Well, behemoths don't grow in the ground. So a very, very difficult Rambam. So the answer to this probably is that the Rambam holds that animals are considered to be gedule karka, even though two animals don't sprout from the ground, but animals eat the grass, and that in turn grows from the ground, and that also constitutes gedule karka. This is probably part of a general theory in Shittas Rambam, that the Rambam happens to hold that chaylev, not to be confused with chovel, but cholev, milking animals. Also, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that Tzadi Hei is a malacha derais. It's also unclear which malacha it is. So the Rambam says it's malacha of dash, because you're putting pressure, exerting pressure on the dot, on the udder of the animal, causing the milk to come out. That's tantamount to pressing on the grain, pulling out the grain from the external part that you don't want. So the Rambam says that's also considered to be a malacha of dash. So Tosfos in Masechah Shabbos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that can't be. Rabbeinu Tam anticipated. Rabbeinu Tam didn't read the Rambam. Rabbeinu Tam anticipated. Someone's going to come and say, Tishtichot Torah, that Cholev is Chayev Mishum Dosh. Maaseh Rashi says that. Cholev is Chayev Mishum Dosh. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, it can't be. Zach Ein Dishal Lekarka. And animals don't grow on the ground. So time and time again, we see the Rambam seems to be violating this klal. On the one hand, the Rambam paskins Ein Dishal Lekarka. And the Rambam says that Cholev is Chayev Mishum Dosh and Chayvel is Chayev Mishum Dosh, even though the Gemara is clear that both of these actions apply to behemoths. So Zeman van Dai, you see from the Rambam, held that an animals are considered to be gedule karka. So Rabbeinu Tam, this quoted by Tais, is giving you a whole shtickle Torah why that's not true. So the Rambam was not meshubah to Rabbeinu Tam shtickle Torah. So Rambam held, no, that an animal is considered to be a lachle gedule karka. So the bottom line is we have two approaches in the Rishonim why chayvel is also. Again, everyone agrees it's a malacha derai, so that's derived from Mila. Which of the lamites malachas is it? So Rashi quotes Yeshayim that it's tzevei, hard to understand. The Rambam says it's part of dash, which is again, according to many Rishonim, hard to understand. And so what is the easiest to understand? So Tosfos quotes the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the real malacha that's violated with chovel, chol lever ben tam dochah, but not the malacha, but the real malacha that's violated with chovel is nish tzeveya and nish dosh. Rather, it's malacha shaychet. That's killing the animal. Killing the animal. The animal's alive and well. Just gave him a little petzel, a little bruise. So why is that called the shaychet? So ben tam says, So Ben Atam played a little joke on us, but he quotes the Gemara, Mali Kotla Kula, Mali Kotla Palga. What's the difference whether you kill it partially, whether you kill it totally? So you would think that Gemara is talking about Malacha Shechet. No, it's not. It's talking about a Sugin Shoyal, Bavitzia, about being Chayef Shvuru Mesa, being Chayef Mesa. It's a code phrase from the Gemara in a totally different context. So Ben Atam powered it and said, that Anucha Shabbos also, Mali Kotla Kula, Mali Kotla Palga. What's the difference whether you kill an animal totally? This is Malacha Shechet. That's for sure one of the Lavitas Malachas. They kill the Elim Adonim this week's Pasha. Otherwise, how are they going to use the skins? So obviously, they kill the animals for part of the Malachas and Mishkan. So just as killing an animal is called a Malacha. So to partially kill an animal is called a Malacha, i.e., drawing a little bit of blood. That's the Malacha of Chayvel. So the bottom line is we have three Ramachakis to be showing him. Why Chayvel is also. Everyone agreed that's Malacha Deraisa. We're not quite sure whether it's also Mishum Tzeveya, whether it's also Mishum Dosh, or whether it's also Mishum Litzos Hashemah. There could be potential Nafka Midas Ladina. Let's say I draw a little bit of blood. It's a very, very small amount. So when it comes to Malachas Disha, there's a certain shear, you're in Geras, you have to have a certain amount of blood has to be drawn. If you hold it's based on Litzos Hashemah, so there's no shear. Shear is Mitzos, Malachalakul, Malachalakul, Padva. Even the smallest amount of drawing blood would be a problem. So Lamaisa, putting aside all the longest halacha, is that drawing blood is problematic. If a person is mechavein to draw blood, that's of course going to be a problem. If a person brings about the drawing of blood through an act of davar she'eino miskavein, so it's not going to be any different than any other davar she'eino miskavein in all the other lamitas halachas. So it's this statement that I just made that sets the background for a very, very famous discussion that appears at the beginning of Maseches Ksuvos. Most yeshiva guys learn the malacha of the Yisur Chayvel through the eyes of Maseches Ksuvos Tavav. Most of Shivas they learned Tzumas before they learned Masechah Shabbos. So in Tzumas Davav, the Gemara has a whole Shaila, two blot long Shaila, about Ma'al Livo B'tchila B'Shabbos. A couple got married, are they allowed to have Biri Shaina on Shabbos? What's the Shaila? So they have a Biri Shaina, she's going to please, the Dam B'Sulim. So is that considered to be a Malacha or not? So the Gemara pilples with a few different Svaras. So one of the Svaras that the Gemara pilples with is that called the Davar Shaina B'Skavin? He's not planning on her bleeding. But the other end of the Gemara says maybe that's called the Psikresha. So the Gemara pilples back and forth, maybe Ribshim Psikresha, Psikresha, Nichla, Lo Nichla, whole Megillah. And finally, the Gemara seems to conclude that it's not really a Psikresha. Why is it not a Psikresha? Because it's Efshel Livo B'Loy Dam. The Gemara says that Shmuel used to say that it's possible, but the guy knows what he's doing. He'll be able to have a Gemara B without necessarily breaking through the membrane. It's possible to do it, so therefore it's no longer considered to be a Begadra Psikresha. That's what the Gemara seems to say. That raises a red flag, Bizman Hazet. Some Mishnayim say, wait a second, the Gemara says that the only reason why it's Mutter, Gemara Paschal, Zilchus Mutter Levo, but Chilu B'Shabbos, the reason why Biri Shayin is Mutter and Shabbos is because it's not really a Psikresha. Psikresha can change according to time and place. If nobody today knows how to do that, most Chassanim have no idea what they're doing in that area, they're not going to be able to figure out how to do that. So then for most Chassanim, it's not going to be a Psikresha. It's going to be a Psikresha. So then maybe we should ask for if there's Man Hazet. So some Rishonim said, right, the Tachav is Manazel, also live up with Chilu B'Shabbos. And other Rishonim said, no, if you look carefully in the Sugya, so there seems to be, there's another factor that's thrown around in that Gemara. The Gemara has multiple reasons why it's Mutter. One reason is because it's not really a Psikresha. The other reason the Gemara has is because maybe the Dam of Dam Pesulim is somehow not considered to be part of the regular system of blood. I mean, Lamaisa, we know it's biologically it's part of the same system, but maybe somehow halachically it's considered to be what the Gemara calls dam nifka pokin. Maybe the dam basulim is viewed as being almost like a separate entity. Why should that be? How do we understand that concept? So one could argue that dam basulim is a kind of a dam that's supposed to come out. It's like most of the blood in our body is supposed to stay inside our body. That's when the blood leaves our body, that's a bad sign. So this is the only blood that a Kadosh Baruch Hu built into the teva that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it to come out. So maybe one can argue that this dam did, even though, again, according to William Harvey's circulatory system, it's considered to be part of the same blood, but maybe Apidin is considered to be like a Mefka pocket. It's considered to be like separate and distinct. It's not considered to be part of the system of the rest of the body. And therefore, that would impose a problem. So that idea that the Gemara says that it's Mefker Pocket is not 100% clear that the Gemara really paskins like that Svara. So that's why you have an array of different opinions in the Rishonim. How do we paskin with Panazel? How do we paskin? Is it Mutter a little bit Chilu B'Shabbos or not? So if you go down the route of the only reason why it's Mutter is because of Psikresha, one could argue that Bisman Hazel. If you go down the route that it's Mutter because of Dam Mefker Pocket, then presumably it should be Mutter if Bisman Hazel. One could argue that maybe Bisman Hazel is going to be Mutter anyway because, as Chassanim tell us, that so often it's not going to be successful anyway by a lav dafke any one given beer. The time the couple starts off the first time, it's necessarily going to lead to dam. It's not even going to be dam the first time anyway. So maybe you can argue that some of his man is at nishtan at farm gamre that most of the time it's not even going to be a beer rishon necessarily going to lead to dam. Just because they think they're doing beer rishon, a lav dafke they're going to succeed. So it's not clear exactly whether it should really be also his man is there. As long as that's usually not so gale and nice because people don't get married on Fridays. So usually the couple's going to try before it anyway. So Mamar Shach, even if they tried and succeeded earlier, and if they tried and didn't yet succeed, so Lav Dafka, they're going to succeed on Friday night. So Lav Dafka, there's a psikration on Friday night any better than the rest of the week. So we usually don't get too tzehitzed about this quote-unquote trying out Bia Rishayna on Friday night. We assume either it's Mutal Gamri or Bismanazet's Mutal, whatever it is. We're not so worried about that. Nevertheless, there is those who learn Tilchus Nida. So there's a very, very strange Nafkamina Ladina that snuck its way into Tilchus Nida based on this Sugi Masechus Ksubas. Because there were some Rishonim who paskin that it's also level B'tchila B'Shabbos, because they were worried about the Psikresha issue of Bisman Hazeh, this led to a very, very strange practice that we have. So, anyone here learn Tilchus Nida ready? No? Okay, so I'll give you very, very B'kitz and Nimrutz. So there's a din in the end of Masechus Nida that right before a woman gets married, so she has to count Shem and Akim, she has to go to the mikveh, even if she was Tahara. Because man is there, it's a moot point, because man is there, all the women have to go to the mikveh because they're all nidos. But even if the woman was a little girl, even if she's an old lady already, she's a Tahara, so she still has to go to the mikveh. She has to count Shem and Akim, go to the mikveh. Why? Because we're concerned of Dam Chimud. We're afraid that maybe the excitement of getting married stimulated her hormones a little bit, and maybe she had a Riyaz Dam that she didn't catch. So there's a special Takaras Achamim that she has to go to the mikveh. So Bisman is there, when a regular 20-year-old girl goes to the mikveh for the first time, so she's really going for two reasons. She's going for the deraisadika reason, because she's been in nida for the last 8 years, and she's going for the derabonadika reason, because she has to also be concerned with maybe there was an extra bit of dam chibud. Man of kamida, she's going to the mikveh anyway, so man of kamida, dam chibud. So there's a machlekes and rishonim, when does the chibud begin? At what point do we have to be concerned that there was chibud? So some rishonim say, from the time that the couple decide they're going to get married. As long as it was tavul inase, they made a real commitment to get married. So at that point, she can knock off the 7 days of chimun and call it a day. And again, if she's a regular girl today, 20 years old, she's getting periods every month, so it's going to be pretty silly for the count Shiv Nikiyam when she gets engaged, because she's going to become a nida derais anyway in the next 2 weeks later. But let's say she's 85 years old, and last time she went to the mikveh when she was 60 years old, and now she's good to go. She's getting married now at 85, so according to some Rishonim, the minute she gets engaged, good. So the Tavul Nasa, let her go to the Kachi Rikim, let her make fun shot, and she'll get married 2 months from now. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that the Dam Chimud concern is closer to the wedding. As you get closer to the wedding, so it builds up the anticipation, the hormones start getting triggered more, and therefore you have to count the Shivan Rikim as close to the wedding as possible. So the Rishonim, right, as close to the wedding as possible. What does it mean? She has to go to the mikvah at the wedding. So obviously there has to be a little bit of a shift, to be a little bit of, give her a little bit of a leeway. So the Ramah quotes a custom that existed in Europe, in Eastern Europe, that has made its way even to the shores of America. The Ramah writes as follows. He writes that as long as she went to the mikvah within 4 days of when she's getting married, that's also good enough. That's close enough to the wedding. We should not have the girls go to the mikvah early, because even, let's say, she's 85 years old and she's not going to get another period, we should not just let her go right away at engagement. We should wait until close to the wedding, but close doesn't have to be close. It's not close. It could be a little rechuk as well. How much is the rechuk? 4 days. Where do 4 days come from? So the Ramah explains in the Nakimosh, where you get this cheshbon 4 days from. So he says that the minig in used to be that the women, when they would get ready to go to the mikvah before getting married, would always go on Tuesday night. My eye, because the mission says, so the minig was they would go to the mikvah on Tuesday night. The Mai said they weren't getting married on Wednesday. The Mara says in Ksubas, we don't get married after Wednesday, because the only reason to get married on Wednesday, because they need the Beis Din would be opening up shop on Thursday. So in case there was a Motzi Shemer issue. So the Mai said nobody gets married dafka. Some people do. We don't dafka get married on Wednesday, Bizban Azeh. So, but Afal Bichain, the minhag stopped. The minhag of the women was that Tuesday night is the mikvah night for kallahs. That was always designated in Deir Deiris back in Eastern Europe. That part was that part did not carry over to the shores of America. But in Eastern Europe, the minhag was Tuesday night they used to go to the mikvah, then they would get married. When did they get married? They didn't get married Wednesday, they didn't get married Thursday, they got married Friday. That was the minhag in Eastern Europe to get married on Friday. Why? That was a very logistic reason. They went away.
Same money.
You didn't have enough money to pay for chasna and to pay for Friday night dinner, so you did not, no pun intended, kill two birds with one stone. Eat one chicken for both meals, so it's good enough. So if you remember the filter on the roof weddings, everyone bring your own chicken to go. So that was the meaning in Europe.
Why is there a problem with the Imam Simcha?
There's no Imam Simcha Simcha on Shabbos. That's what there's a Shiduk Betes in Ksubas that has a strange comment that says that the Natari not only get married on Shabbos because they Imam Simcha Simcha. So all the other Rishonim say, each date on Shabbos is simple. Tashas is more simple than Shabbos. Well, not enough simple to create any Mamzim. So the meaning was they would get married late Friday. So that's why if you look at the Shabbos, there's a Magen Avraham, there's a whole discussion about it comes time for Lech Benching, and the woman is still at the Chuppah, and she can't get back in time to bench Lech. What do you do? You have a goy, you have a, so you scratch, you know, who's hanging Chassidus 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday? The answer is everybody in Eastern Europe. They all made weddings on Friday afternoon. That was the famous Maisa with the Ramah. When is the famous Maisa? No, that was the famous Maisa, the Ramah. The Ramah was once getting ready to start Kiddush on Friday, and there was a big fight broke out between the two sides about money. So they, the Chassan side wanted to pull out of the wedding. So the Ramah was trying to make Shalom. So the Ramah writes in the Tshuva that he got late, and it's time to have Mincha. So he sent the Kolkeri out to the shul in Krakow. He said, no one's davening mincha until we we're not starting Kabbal Shabbos until this issue is put to rest, until both sides agree they're going to go through with the wedding. So the Rama says it took hours for this to happen. It was after dark, the Rama writes. And this is where America changed from Europe. In America, they would have just made a break off me. But in Europe, the Rama was king. So the Rama said, in Krakow, no one's davening, nobody touched, nobody davened. So the Rama writes, it was two, 3 hours after it was already dark, and finally, both sides agreed to a compromise. So they said, okay, we'll make the chassid right after Shabbos. So the Ramah was smarter than them. He said, if he waits till after Shabbos, he'll have another 20 hours to get into another fight. So he said, no, we'll be Masada Kedushin right now, Friday night. It was crazy. The Mishnah says, if 18 hours, we'll be Masada Kedushin on Shabbos. So the Ramah quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, if you're getting married for the first time, you're allowed to get married even on Shabbos. That they lifted the din, the Rabban of Ein Nos Noshim B'Shabbos. So we don't really follow the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Ramah writes in the Tshuva that V'Shas Al Chak, you're allowed to rely on the Rabbeinu Tam. So he was Masada Kedushin. He writes B'Ferish in the Tshuva. He was Mamash Masada Kedushin on Friday night, 2-3 hours after Tetz Kechavim. And then he got blessed that after Shabbos was over. Today's world, he would get the text would start piling in right after Avdallah. So there it took a while till the word spread to the neighboring towns. So a lot of the Rabban of the neighboring towns were very, very upset with what the Ramon did. So he starts his shuvah to defend what he did. He writes, but they say any ruach v'shmach rachal rash gadol. He says, I hear a lot of noise. Let me explain to all the other Rabbanim in the neighboring towns why I did what I did. And then after that, there was a minhag that developed in Krakow that they stopped weddings on Friday because of that story. So the people who lived in Krakow right before the war said, they gave Agnes that Krakow, there was ad 1939, until Krakow was destroyed. So they stopped having weddings in Krakow on Friday because of that crazy mice of the Ramon back in the 1500s. Anyway, so it was normal in most of Eastern Europe just to get married on Friday. So now that we get married on Friday, so the Ramon writes that they're getting married on Friday, nobody would ever dream of having Bir Rishonim Friday night because they were choshesh for that. For those Rishonim who said that Bir Rishonim is also Friday night, this man is there. The Gemara says it's mutter. We're not relying on that because we're not the Kiyim, so for us it's a psik reisha. So the Ramah writes, so all of a sudden you had this bizarre minhag that developed. A woman's going to the mikveh Tuesday night and she's not with her husband Wednesday night because she's not married yet. She's not with her husband Thursday, she's not married yet. She's not even with her husband until Friday night, even though she's married. The only time the couple would finally try Bir Rishonim would be Motzei Shabbos. What a break between the tefillah and the bia. All that terrible time of chibur is going to come. What's going on? So Ramah says, you see that the minhag in Eastern Europe was to assume that for four, as long as there's no more than three nights in between the leil tefillah and the bia rishayna, that's not considered to be a problem. So the Ramah writes, now anyone who wants to get married on a Wednesday, on a Sunday, so get married whenever you want, and you want to go to the mikvah 2 nights before, that's okay. You want to go 3 nights before, you can't go 4 nights before. If you go too far before that window was accepted practice in Eastern Europe because that's just the way it was. So whatever you want to do, Bizman Hazak, whatever night you want to get married, just go backwards and make sure you don't go to the mikvah too much before that. So that sticks ad ayam. That's the practice ad ayam is in America, that we let the women go to the mikvah the day before, 2 days before, 3 days before. A little more than that, it starts to get a little bit, then summer bottom starts to get shaky. So that extra night that we're willing to let a woman in Tidek in 2022, we're giving her an extra night early to go to the mikvah, that's a thank you to those Rishonim back in Krakow that we're chayshish for. It's also a little bit chil b'shabbos because of chayvel. I told you it was a strange application of chus nidah. Yeah, no, the application. Anyway, the intersection between chus nidah and chus shabbos. Okay, back to our story. So the bottom line is that you can't cause bleeding on Shabbos. So there was a fascinating discussion that was raised about, it was a very hot topic about 20 plus years ago. It became less exciting in the last couple of years, but the years, 20, 25 years ago or so, the following topic was a very, very big hot topic. That was collecting umbilical cord blood. So 25, 30 years ago or so, they discovered this, someone came up with this great idea that umbilical cord blood is rich in, it's all stem cell blood or something. I don't know, you tell me what that means, I'm not sure. But so in theory, that blood could be used, you know, let's say Rahman al-Utslan, this baby in 20 years from now develops leukemia, develops some kind of a blood disorder, and he needs to get a blood from somebody else. So instead of getting blood from a donor, instead of getting doing some bone marrow, procedure to try to get chaperine somebody else who's a match with him and try to get somebody else's bone marrow to be able to produce stem cells. He says, wait a second. He said, he's got his own blood. His own blood should be the best possible blood. So the svara was that even though it's from the same person, so one could argue maybe this blood is also not healthy blood. This is 20 years earlier, so it could be that whatever caused this process of the blood disorder in the person's body, if the blood is sitting in a test tube frozen in some lab somewhere, and it's his blood, ain lecha donor gadol mizeh, adam karev etzel atzmo, person's ain lecha karev gadol mizeh. That was the svara that was suggested 25, 30 years ago by the scientists. So it was a tricky svara because there was no really way to prove it. You have to bank the blood. Then you have to wait 30 years or so until somebody never gets leukemia. And then you have to try to test the blood and see. So it's going to be a 30-year experiment to see whether this idea is going to actually work. So in theory, it was suggested. So now, theory didn't take too long until somebody realized that, hey, we can make an awful lot of money on this. That have everybody make this standard procedure. Every baby that's born, take out, instead of, what do they do with the umbilical cord? They take out and throw it to the garbage. So before you throw the umbilical cord into the garbage, take out the blood and stick it into a lab, freeze it, stick it into a lab, and charge a lot of money for that. And then you pay an ongoing fee every year. They charge you on your birthday, charge you $100. So, kachava, so the umbilical cord, the blood cord registry thus came into existence 25 plus years ago. And they would charge you $1,000 or so for the, they would have to send a team to pick up the blood and then to freeze the blood and to process the blood. So they would slap you with $1,000 on day one, and then they would give you an ongoing fee every year to keep the freezer going. How much? It didn't cost them $100 to keep the freezer going. They were keeping it for the other 500 plus. It's a good way to make money. So now they got you where you want. Why? Because you already spent $1,000. Now, no one's going to say 20 years from now that it's not worth it anymore. It's not worth it anymore. Chalila, maybe next year's a bad year. So you already spent so much money, so keep on spending more money. So that was the marketing gimmick. So this was going on for a while. It's still going on at IBM. So there were chiluk days in the doctors whether this is really a good idea, whether it's just a waste of time and money. So there are different yesh v'yesh. But so when free at the door, so it was a big, very, very popular thing. Some people still do it today. Anyone know? Anyone here married? No? Okay. No kids yet? No? Okay. So have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. So usually it used to be in the OBGYN's office, by the seventh month, people would start to read up about this. So one of the shilas, when this thing was in its heyday, again, the people still do it today. In its heyday, so all of a sudden the shilas was posted. The other rabbanim, wait a second. Can you do this stunt on Shabbos? Can you take out this blood on Shabbos? So your initial reaction, what do you mean? It's pikuach nefesh. A little bit of a stretch, Ruch Nefesh. You know, if you do the right, Ruch Nefesh, when there's a chayil lefaneinu. Here, We hope and pray the guy's not going to get sick. He's not going to get sick for another 20 years. So it's hard to justify this based on pikuach nefesh. So the question is there any malacha happening whatsoever? Is there any malacha? Gevaltus. It's chayvel. You're causing bleeding. You're drawing out blood. Ain't lecha chayvel going to be zeh. So a fascinating suggestion was made that no, maybe this is mutter because this is like dam besulim. Remember the Gemara said that one of the tzedadim to be makel by dam besulim is because it's mefkad pocket. It's not really part of the system. Guess what? This is taka not part of the system. Because what they do is they clamp the cord first. So any blood that's in the umbilical cord, when the doctor's making an incision, he's poking into the blood and then yanking out the blood and pouring it into a test tube. So all that is being done from blood that's not part of the Dama Nefesh anymore. This blood is no shaykhus to the baby anymore. This blood is not shaykhus to anybody anymore. This is blood sitting inside a umbilical cord. It's not connected biologically anymore to the rest of the flow. So even though we have no idea what in the world the Gemara meant in Ksubas about the Dam Besulim being Mefker Pocket, but this is better than the Gemara, than the Dam. This is mamish physically called Mefker Pocket. So Lefuni is Daite, I think that was a very, very convincing argument. So there were Chiluka days about the Rabbanim about this. But there were Gedolei HaPoskim who were willing to be making on this outright. They felt that even if it's a Goyish doctor, Matoy, but if it's a Jewish from doctor, he's asking Shaila, am I allowed to poke the blood, poke the blood to draw the blood? So there may be potential grounds to be making. In general, all the Shaila that we have a Choyvel, nobody's asking Shaila, am I allowed to punch or beat somebody up as man as that? All the Shaila that we have a Choyvel are all going to come there at the hospitals. We're going to come to the hospital with doctors, different kinds of blood work that has to be done potentially in Shabbos. So this opens up a whole series of shailas. What's the din? Can I draw blood? Again, if it's for pikuach nefesh, then obviously, yeah. What if the drawing blood is not necessarily for pikuach nefesh? So very often a person finds themselves in a hospital on Shabbos, and they're drawing blood right and left, and there's number zero, there's no pikuach nefesh, there's no shaykhs of pikuach nefesh. Why are they doing it? Protocol. I remember my father, Mashalom, he had about an hour left to bleed, an hour left to live, I'm sorry. And the nurse comes in, and I was an hour, everyone knew, testing his sugar counts. Sugar. He's not eating anything anymore, he's not even sugar counts anymore. He's like, oh, no, his mom, she was glaces. The hospital protocol, have to check the sugar counts, it's drawing blood. So the question is, those kinds of potential hospital testing are being done to a person. Can we sanction those on Shabbos? So the good news is that Rubu the people who are doing these tests are really blood, usually not Jewish. So if it's a non-Jewish nurse is coming in to take your blood, so the question is, am I allowed to help along? Am I allowed to make my fist, make a fist, put my arm up, and let them draw some blood for me if it's clearly not for the Pikuach Nefesh? So this is a throwback to what, who remembers? The last semester. To what? Goes to the Taz Meshach. So according to the Taz, who says, I'm going to say, yeah, yesh po mamish. That's doing like that with your hand, putting your arm like that. That's not what people usually do. So that's called Masiya yesh po mamish. And the Shach said, Nuch HaShabbos, Masiya is always yesh po mamish. So Baruch Hashem, we probably pass like the Shach. The same way we said at the time, that the Bosa Mekil, to let Goyim brush hairs, and let Goyim cut nails, and all that kind of stuff. Because we assumed that the Nuch HaShabbos was yesh po mamish legamri. So that would probably be good grounds to pay guys, a patient in the hospital, they don't have to make a zamacha on the drawing of the blood.
Once they're drawing, like once the needle's in, is it a problem for them to draw more blood, or is multiple pricks the issue?
I'm stubborn, older, but whatever, more blood is coming out, is a problem. Anything that I do to cause more blood. Okay, all right, hopefully that's Hashem. We'll try to finish up the blood part.
Yeah, if the yid is drawing the blood,
if the Jew's the nurse, he's got a problem. Yeah, you got a problem. Yeah. Unless you want to argue that this person is still a chavish yesh persakona, even though this particular tear is not sakona, that's not the Magid Mishnah. It's called tzorchei achola. I'm not even sure the person's even a chavish yesh persakona. If he's in the hospital, he's probably still a chavish yesh persakona. I don't know. Okay. But.